D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. A reminder, directly after our next guest, you can guess on our trivia question to win Music City Bowl tickets. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's welcome in our friend Trevor Madage on our phone line. He is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trevor, we have been discussing so far in this program, we are looking at some of the top teams in the NFL this season, specifically the Denver Broncos, the New England Patriots, the Chicago Bears. You can even throw the Jacksonville Jaguars in there as well. And a common denominator for all of those teams is the fact that they have recently made coaching changes that have apparently worked so well that the Bears and the Patriots, for example, who were two of the worst teams in the NFL last season, are suddenly competing for the top seeds in their respective conferences. So let me ask you the question we've been debating. Is a Titans turnaround as simple as hiring the right coach?
It is as simple as hiring the right coach combined with the front office to bring in the right players. And so it is as simple as the right people, but I would say people plural. And so, you know, when you look at how the Patriots did it, I mean, they drafted Drake May, high quarterback, and his QBR last year was about 55 or so. Well, that's gone up about 16 points this year. And when you look at how they've done it, one way is that with Mike Vrabel, their new coach, their defense is much better this year than it was last year. But they also brought in their leading receiver, Stephon Diggs, wasn't with the team last year. He came in for 2025, and Travion Henderson is their leading rusher for the Patriots, and he was drafted in the second round in 2025. And so it's a matter, in the case of the Patriots with Vrabel, of improving the defense and bringing in that running back, bringing in that receiver to support the highly drafted quarterback in his second year. And really in Chicago, it's kind of similar. I mean, very quietly this year, Chicago is second in the NFL in rushing. And DeAndre Swift, their leading rusher, came in last year to support their draft choice, Caleb Williams, a quarterback. And they also drafted Rome Odunze last year, a wide receiver, and he's their leading receiver. And so they improved in key core areas, both the Bears and the Patriots. But they also supported their young quarterback so that in the second year, that young quarterback had playmakers around him. And I think that is the formula that the Titans will have to follow. And so, yeah, bringing in the right coach is important. Clearly, Ben Johnson for the Bears was the offensive coordinator last year and last several years for the Detroit Lions, one of the best offenses in the league. But it's the opposite. The Patriots didn't bring in an offensive-minded head coach to help their quarterback, Drake May. They brought in a defensive-minded head coach in Mike Vrabel. So the style is less important than the guy and how that guy insists that the support come in around that quarterback in terms of playmakers. And right now for the Titans, Tony Pollard, I think, is one of the most underappreciated running backs in the NFL. He's really come on the last couple of games because they've given him the ball the last couple of games. But the receiving core for Tennessee is not nearly what the Bears and the Patriots have surrounded their young quarterbacks with. And that really is the next step for developing Cam Ward.
Trevor, what do you make of the label game manager for a quarterback? Willie used the correct word, I think, to describe, or correct phrase to describe what a lot of people think of when they hear the word or phrase game manager, a backhanded compliment. But we were talking about Bo Nix, and Bo Nix has a reputation, I would say, early in his NFL career of being a quote-unquote game manager, albeit a high-level one. So we all want the elite quarterback, right? We are all hoping that Cam Ward turns into that elite quarterback. But what if Cam Ward's ceiling is a high-level game manager? What would the Titans make of that? What should fans make of that?
I think that would be great. I mean, I think that would be incredible. I mean, if you're one of those playmakers at quarterback, outstanding, good for you. There's very few of those guys in the world. I mean, right now you're looking at guys like Patrick Mahomes when he's healthy, a healthy Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen in Buffalo. There's very few guys that can rise to that level of being actual consistent playmaking quarterbacks at the highest level. But when you look at teams that have won the Super Bowl, you look at the last 10 years, three Super Bowls were won by Tom Brady, three of them by Patrick Mahomes. Well, I think you can make the case that Mahomes is a playmaker, although he's more of a game manager than people give him credit for. At least he does it at a high level. Brady, I don't think you can make the case that he is a playmaker so much as he is a game manager, and the plays that he made were made because he was able to understand with great intimacy what the defense was trying to do and then take advantage of the weaknesses in that defense. And that means know what the tendencies are so that pre-snap he can look at the situation down a distance and all the rest, his personnel group. He sees how the defense is arrayed before the snap. And then after the snap, he sees them transition from the disguise into what their real coverage and real blitz is going to be. And then he knows right away where to go with the ball. Well, that's game managing. That's attacking the defense where the defense is weakest. Instead of being a big playmaker where you're so awesome physically that you're going to defeat the defense no matter what they do, right? Now, having said that, any quarterback will need to make plays in situations, right, where it's third and seven and you have to make that throw and you just have to get it completed, right? Or you have to take off a run and get it done. But overall, if Cam Ward becomes an outstanding game manager, the Titans can win the Super Bowl with that if they surround him with enough players to distribute the ball to that can then be the actual playmakers, the ones that actually go out and become the superstars. If he distributes and distributes correctly and well and consistently and protects the ball, then the Titans can go as high as the other skilled people can take them.
We'll talk with Trevor Maddich, ESPN analyst. Now, Trevor, over the last 2 weeks, the Titans' run game, you mentioned them being able to run the football, but the Titans' run game has been a boost for them. What are you seeing in that offensive line that is causing this? Because last week it was Seattle, and they got a really good defense. This past week it was San Francisco, not as good defensive front as Seattle, but the Titans were still able to run the ball effectively.
Yeah, they were. I mean, you look at those last two games. Those were the only two games of the season that Tony Pollard, the Titans running back, went over 100 yards on the ground. I mean, it was 161 at Cleveland in freezing weather, and I thought that was a phenomenal performance. And then San Francisco, he only ran it 14 times, but he was over 100 yards, and he averaged 7.5 yards per carry against San Francisco. And so I think the big difference is that they just decided to commit to it, really. I think that was the difference. This offensive line gets a lot of grief. The part of the problem, though, is that it makes it harder for them to look good when they fall behind so fast that they have to go into throw the ball down the field mode so early that teams just pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. If the offense were more balanced over the course of the season, if the defense were able to slow down opponents' offenses early in games so that the game stayed closer for longer, I think this offensive line would look better than it kind of has over the course of the season. It's not perfect, but I think going forward, you've got a fantastic nucleus on the offensive line. I mean, you've got an 11th pick in the draft at left guard in Peter Skoronski, who now is playing like one of the best guards in the NFL. I think that the 7th pick, I think he was, J.C. Latham at right tackle now. I think that a couple of years under his belt at right tackle, which is where he should have been all along, he will end up being one of the best tackles in the NFL. You've got one of the best young centers in Cushenberry, you know, as long as he's healthy and he's able to come back fully healthy. You've got a nucleus of an offensive line that should be performing much better than it looks like because of the overall ineptitude of the Titans offense in being able to sustain drives and score touchdowns. I mean, I think only the Raiders have fewer touchdowns scored than the Titans this year. So, you know, they're not able to score, and that makes the offensive line look bad for a variety of reasons. But overall, I think that they're in pretty good shape, and we saw what they were able to do the last 2 weeks where they won a one-score game against Cleveland by committing to the run, and they lost a one-score game, or not a one-score game, a two-score game at San Francisco, but still ran the ball better than they had in most games on the season. And I think committing to it is one of the big things. I think it shows us that this offensive line and this running game in general actually has a lot more potential than we've seen most games this year.
I meant to say Cleveland and not Seattle, so I'm sorry about that, Trevor.
Yeah, that was the one score game. That's why I looked at that, yeah.
We're talking to Trevor Maddux. Trevor, of course, covers college football for ESPN. We love getting his perspective on the Titans as well. Trevor, were you surprised at the margin in which Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman?
I was, because I thought that there were three guys of the four finalists that were worthy of winning it. I thought Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame was also worthy of winning the Heisman. And I thought it would be a lot closer between one and two, certainly. But, you know, Mendoza, I think, had two things going for him. One is that he had that massive late drive against Penn State to win the game. I mean, for those who, you know, just to remind, they were down Indiana to Penn State by 4 points, 24-20, with less than 2 minutes to go. So Indiana gets the ball on their own 20-yard line, and first play is a sack. So now they're on their own 13 with less than 2 minutes to go, and Mendoza rips off nine straight throws and finishes with a touchdown to Omar Cooper in the back of the end zone, which was one of the prettiest throws and catches we'll see all season long, while two defenders were about to hit Mendoza in the face as he drifted backwards, throwing off his back foot. That pinpoint precise throw was amazing. And that was one of the things that he had that Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback, didn't have necessarily from a standpoint of a highlight. And then the other one, I think, was the Big Ten championship game. This year, the Heisman voters were not allowed to submit their vote until after the championship game. And so they saw on the very first play of the game, Ohio State smash Mendoza. I mean, smash him as he rolled out to the right. And he completed a pass for 9 yards, but he was on the ground on his face after the first play of the game. He got back up and he led his team to a victory over the defending national champs in the Big Ten championship game. And I think those two things were emotional connections of the voter to Mendoza. If I had a vote, and I don't, but if I did, I would have voted for Pavia. Even though he didn't have the splash moments that Mendoza did, I thought what he did overall was more outstanding than what Mendoza did. But Mendoza did have a season that was worthy of the Heisman. I can't say that they got it wrong.
Trevor, you saw Diego's response, right? He knew he made a mistake. Now he's trying to go back and say, I messed up. What advice would you give him as he tries to move forward in his career?
Yeah, well, that mistake, he tweeted out, I guess, an expletive in reference to the Heisman voters.
F all the voters, and is what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah. And it was interesting. I saw Cam Newton, who's a Heisman voter, right? And Heisman winner from Auburn, he was on First Take with Stephen A., and he said, hey, Diego, I'm one of those Heisman voters that you just said F to, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that offended a lot of people. I think the first thing I would say is it takes years to develop a reputation, a good one, and just a moment to trash it, to destroy it. I would be slow to define Diego Pavia by the appearance of that tweet. It was horrific. It was bad. It was selfish. It was dumb in every way. But I don't want to say, therefore, this is the nature of Diego Pavia, because I don't know that. You know, to me, it seemed like he was a competitor. He saw this as a competition, like almost he was in a wrestling match with Mendoza, and right there in the ceremony when they were about to announce it, he literally was about to pin Mendoza, he thought, and then bam, there was a reversal and he got pinned and he jumped up with that kind of an emotion, and it was after that he sent the tweet. Okay, I get that part. But the thing is, the negative things that you do will live far longer than the positive ones. And if I were to give him advice, I would just say that it's a whole lot better to take a breath and try to not do something that you'll have to apologize for to begin with, because it's much easier to avoid a problem, any problem, than it is to commit the problem and then have to fix it. And right now, his reputation has taken a massive hit, and it'll take a long time to earn it back.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vin Gnidonic. He joins us every Tuesday, and he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, as always, thank you for the insight. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025, okay? If you want Music City Bowl tickets, now is the time. And we are going to do it a little bit differently today. Instead of just being the first caller, I need you to be the first caller with the correct answer to this question. The Tennessee Volunteers, who are playing in the Music City Bowl, are 1-2 all-time at the event. Their lone win came against Nebraska, 38-24 in 2016. Who was named the MVP of that game? Be the first person with the correct answer to David Janes at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl. Again, the question. Who was the MVP of the 2016 Music City Bowl, which Tennessee won against Nebraska? 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.